Fresh air is an intangible force that revives the soul. In our natural state, we can find ourselves living in survival mode. In fact, it's very easy to end up in a stagnant, lifeless state with absolutely no wind in our sails. I believe that every one of us has a longing for more, a longing to experience a breath of fresh air that will blow through every area of our lives. Because when it happens, it literally has the power to change everything.
All right, welcome to part four of our series, Fresh Air, and the conclusion of this series. So glad that you're with us today. It's been a wonderful, wonderful ride as we've gone through this study. Before I do anything else, though, I just want to say again, heartfelt welcome to Cross Point. So glad you're with us. And also to those that are watching online that have just joined us. Well, come on, everybody, give it up. Those are here online with us. And so I hope you've enjoyed this. In fact, if you have missed any of this, I encourage you to go back to our archives. You can pull up these messages, and they're there for you. Also, the message notes are there for you. It's on crosspointworshipcenter.com. And just catch up on these. Actually, this series, it's the first time I've ever done this, was based on a book that was authored by Pastor Chris Hodges of Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama, a church that we're very much connected with through a network called Grow, and who are helping churches like ours just kind of learn principles of growth. And also they are a church planting church that's just affected the kingdom of God around the world. He wrote a book some years back entitled Fresh Air, and I'm actually leading a small group study at my house on this book, which is more of a longer spread out of this book. We actually, though, took this book and reduced it down to a four-part series, so we're not giving you everything in the book. If you want more, come to my small group. I love it. For 4 weeks, I've got to plug my group. You know, there's other groups, y'all. Go online, and you can find those and navigate through our website to find those and connect with a group. But I'm enjoying this study as we're looking at this. As we're really looking at principles that will breathe fresh air into you, we want to add value to your life. Because, you see, there are times in our life where we find ourselves stale. We find ourselves stuck. We hear that word a lot. We find ourselves just in this place we call the doldrums, where there's no wind, there's no air. And so what do we do? How do we get out of that place? And so giving you some principles to help move you beyond this place of the doldrums. So in the first week, we looked at the fact that we have a choice. There's a choice involved in this. And because sometimes we live our life with this idea that if we just do more, we can get ourselves out of this place. If we just work our way out of it, pull up our own bootstraps, you know, and move forward ourselves. But actually, sometimes when we do the external without an internal thing happening within us, it actually makes things worse for us instead of better. And so we talked about this principle of that something internal's got to happen. And that's really a foundational message to this whole series, and that is that you've got to fall in love with Jesus. You know, you just got to fall in love with Him. So I encourage you to go, if you didn't hear that, and check that out. The next week, we talked about the fact that there's another kind of choice that we have, and it has to do with our attitude, and that we need to have a Christ-like attitude. So we got into just a little more practical of how you live this thing out, and that it is possible to have a Christ-like attitude. And so we would encourage you in that, because do it for you and do it for everyone around you, that to have a Christ-like attitude. And so we talked about the practical of that. And then last week we talked about the fact that there are times, though, when we're sailing along, but there are holes in our sail, and we're not making any progress, and we're doing everything we know to do, but actually a lot of times we're doing more than enough, or more than we should be doing, and that is we just don't take time to rest. And so we violate this principle called the Sabbath. It's a principle of resting in Scripture, and that's on that same list that says don't commit adultery and don't murder, right? It's on the same list, but oftentimes we violate this one more than any of them. But we need to take time to rest and catch our breath, and so we looked at that. Today we're actually going to be looking at a message today that really was real. The real purpose of this whole book was written about this one topic, and it was going to be about this one thing, but it really just kind of built up to the final point of expressing the fact that there is a source of fresh air, and that is found in the person of the Holy Spirit. I heard Pastor Chris say when he first was going to write this book, he was going to call it the ghost. You know, you no reason to be afraid, you know, no reason to fear the ghost. And so the publisher said, not so sure. Let's rethink that. Might scare a few people, because some people are just kind of put off with this idea of the ghost and there this thing called the spirit. And we're trying to understand who God is. And really, you know, we say, well, I get, you know, we know that he's a third person of the Trinity. But we get the two-thirds of that, but that one-third we're just not sure about. So, in fact, one of the things that I'm doing in doing this series as a small group is next semester we're going to go a little bit deeper, and we're going to do a study by Robert Morris called The God I Never Knew, because we know who God the Father is, we know who God the Son is, but this ghost thing, this spirit or ghost or whatever term you put on that, just or a lot of question marks about that. So I'm good with Father. You know, I know Father. I get a Father. I got a Father. You got a Father. Everybody's got a Father. So we get Father. We can understand. Son, I'm a son. We got Son Jesus. We see him. He's in the pictures. He's in the movie. We put him around our neck on a cross. You know, I mean, we get who Jesus is. But this Holy Spirit thing, well, I'm just not so sure about this. And so, but there's a reason for that. And some of that's really not always your fault, because actually there's some things, some reasons why we've kind of misunderstood who the Holy Spirit is. And so we're gonna talk about that today. So to get started, I'd like you to get your message notes out of your worship guide, and there's some fill in the blanks there. And let's begin with our foundational verse that we've been using throughout this entire series. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, that says this: "This day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you, and I have set before you life and death." So there's some choices. There's a choice of life, there's a choice of death, and there's a choice of blessings or curses. And the encouragement here is that you'll choose life. So at the end of every message, we're giving you this choice to choose. And our hope is that you will choose life so that you can live. In fact, everyone around you can live and experience life as well. And so I want us to, first of all, begin with this topic of the Holy Spirit, of realizing this, and that is this term, Holy Spirit. We use the term spirit, or use the term in some translations, ghost. The reason for that, first of all, that's not the exact word that was in the original manuscript. The original manuscript was not written in English, okay, because it didn't happen in England, okay. It happened in the Middle East, and in that culture, they spoke Hebrew. So the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek, because the Greeks began to influence education and all what was happening, influencing the society at that time. So it was written in Greek. But so there was different words that were used, and really the translators were trying to struggle with what word to use. But I want us to look at what the true manuscript, the true original text of the word is. And the word in the Hebrew is actually this word. You can write this down. Come on, we're going to have a little Hebrew lesson here. Ruach. Ruach. Now, to say that, you don't just say ruach. You kind of get a little kernel of corn stuck in the back of your throat here, and it's ruach, okay? excuse me. And it means this: a wind or breath or violent exhalation, a blast of breath. So there's this, oh, there's this wind, this and almost like a blast of breath. And this word is actually the same word that's used in the second verse of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this: "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the ruach of God, the breath of God, was hovering over the waters." Now that word there, it was there when things were being created. It was the breath of God. So when God created life, he didn't just say, you know, in our southern accent, "Let there be light," and there was light. No, actually it was him breathing. It was the spirit of God. It was the wind, the breath of God, that who breathed, said light, light, and there was light. there was trees and stars, right? And God just, I want you to get, now this is amazing, because really, you gotta get this. In fact, some years ago, actually, I was traveling, and I came across an article that talked about the God particle. You ever heard about the God particle? And it's where scientists have actually discovered this thing that was missing, because they said, we know that life happens, we just don't know how. And they discovered, and I can't really explain it fully. In fact, I went on Wikipedia and tried to figure it out, and they couldn't even explain it. They just referenced it. They didn't really explain it. But it's basically this element that they've discovered that it happens so fast in this millisecond of a moment that they receive the results that it was there, but they can't see it. It's just like it was there, but they see the evidence that something was there, and they didn't know what to describe it, so they called it the God particle. I just think that's cool. I just think it's a breath of God that breathes life. And so there's this breath of God that happens even in the place of creation. Now, in the New Testament, the word is pneuma. The P is silent, so it's pneuma, and it simply means a current of air. There it is again, a blast of breath or a strong breeze. Now, don't you love that? It's this strong breeze that just comes from God. It's fresh air. And so, actually, this is spoken of in John chapter 6, in 63, that says this, the Spirit, or the pneuma, gives life. So it's that breath, that wind, that blast of breath that gives life. And it says the flesh counts for nothing. So all of our striving, our doing, our paddling, trying to get out, it accomplishes. Everybody say it. Nothing. Come on, say it. Nothing, right? But this breath of fresh air, it says, Jesus said this. He said, the words I have spoken to you, they are spirit, they are pneuma, they are this wind and life. So I want us to understand the word of God is that God, that Jesus was talking about. He said, my words are life. They're a breath of fresh air. So he's saying it's more the Bible. The word of God is more than just words on a page. All right? It's more than just information. It's more than just this stuff written and there it is. No, it has within it the power to breathe life into you. It has the power within it to breathe life, to fulfill what it's, come on, to fulfill what the Word of God has declared. I mean, y'all getting this? I got one that's getting it. The rest of y'all getting this? Amen. I'm preaching better than y'all were amening. All right, so I'm just, be careful. I can amen myself. That's what Jesus did, right? He said, hey, I am alive and forevermore. Look around, nobody amen. Amen. He just amened himself. So look, so there's this breath of fresh air that comes to us. He says, the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. They have the ability to change your life. They have the ability to change your marriage. They have the ability to change your city, everybody. They have the ability to breathe new life into you. And so it's the Word of God. I just want us to get this, because what we need is this breath of fresh air. So how do we understand this? To better explain this, we look at this word wind, and what it represents. So the Bible says that the Spirit of God is like a wind. It's like a breath of fresh air. Well, if that's true, then perhaps we could explain what wind is and help better explain what the Holy Spirit is. So let's take the word wind. Now, if you were going to try to describe what wind is for someone, how would you describe it? Like for somebody who's never been outside, how would you describe wind? Well, it's like this. It kind of, and then it or sort of, and then it, and you really can't. You can describe, well, it kind of moves this way. What do you mean? What is it? You just have to say, come on outside and I'll show you, right? So let's look at a few characteristics of wind. First of all, wind is unseen. Write that down. Wind is unseen. Now, but we have a little bit of trouble with this, because we want to see our God. We want things to be run through. We got to see it. There it is. And so if you think that you've got to see everything or you've got to see God, this is going to mess you up, because God oftentimes is unseen. In fact, in John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus told who we call Doubting Thomas, he said this to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Because that's just a fact. Sometimes you're just not going to be able to see him. Sometimes we just want to put God in a box. You know, there he is. I understand him now. That's my God. Set him up on a shelf. That's him. No, but God is beyond that. He's unseen. A second characteristic is this, and that is that the wind is unpredictable. Now, this really messes with us because we just want our God to be, you know, we want to have, it needs to be orderly. We need to understand who he is and how he works. But he is actually unpredictable. In fact, Jesus, he said this. He said, the wind blows, and this is interesting because, you know, the word spirit or pneuma or ruach is actually listed 800 times throughout the Bible. But this is the only place in the New Testament where the translator actually used the word wind. It was the word pneuma, but he actually translated it to the word wind. And Jesus said, the wind blows where it pleases. So in other words, you can't control it. It's unpredictable. You know, like you go out to the airport and planes are going to land sometimes from the east and sometimes from the west and sometimes from the north or south you know, because they have to change which way they approach because of the wind. There's a windsock or how they approach because there's a wind, you know, the windsock out there, that little orange thing that the wind, it just tells them kind of which, okay, it's blowing this way, whoop, it's blowing this way, now we need to adjust accordingly. Now it's blowing this way, whoop, so we need to change. So it's unpredictable. You never know which way it's going to blow. And Jesus says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And for some people, say, I don't like that. I like my God, you know, to be predictable and understand who he is. In fact, there's a principle in the Bible that you do wrong things, you're going to be cursed. You do right things, you're going to be blessed. And that runs really good until you run up to the book of Job, which, by the way, is the oldest book in the Bible. And Job did all the right things. There was no man like him on the face of the earth that was after the heart of God. And yet, Job ran into all of these difficulties, right? And like, well, that just messed up my whole theology, right? So, but Job had something more than just principle. He had a relationship with God that helped him know who God was and hung on to God, okay? And that's kind of what we got to do when things are unpredictable and we don't know what to do and what's going on. Hang on to God. Just hold on to God. He is unpredictable. In fact, in the Bible, there was a guy who he brought a friend to Jesus. He saw Jesus touching people and healing him. And he said, oh, I'm going to bring my friend and let Jesus touch him. In other words, he's going to lay his hands on him because when he lays hands on people, he heals them. And so he brought his friend, and he even told Jesus how to do it. His friend was blind, and he told Jesus, he said, hey, Jesus, do that hand thing, you know, lay your hand on him. And Jesus is like, oh, you think it's all in the hand? Okay. And he makes a mud pie, come on, makes some mud, and puts it on his eye. To which, you know, his friend, the guy who brought him, said, ha ha, what do you, no, don't do mud pies. Do the hand. It's like, you know, some of you bring a friend and you're thinking, let everything just be okay and don't do anything. Don't blow it, Pastor. I brought my friend. I want to get him here. And then it's that Sunday, the pastor just doesn't deliver what you think he should deliver. And you're like, oh, Pastor, this is, please, not when I brought my, you know, that's how this guy felt. You know, here he was wanting to just do the hand and he made mud pie and put him. He's unpredictable, right? Come on, he messed with you. Like, there's only one time that I read that God actually spoke to someone out of a burning bush, right? But you know, if Moses were to be here today and start a church, he'd probably call it the first church of the burning bush. You know, like, God's got to speak to you out of a bush. And if you don't speak out of a bush, you know, you're going to hell. You know, it's got to be this way. And we get in our minds, seriously, how things got to be this way or this way or this way or this way, right? It's just, God's unpredictable. In fact, this week in our community prayer service Wednesday after this tragic event in our own community, you know, we gathered together at a church. It was a Lutheran church. We're not Lutheran. I looked at somebody and said, hey, we're in their house. We're going to do it their way. We're going to just be flexible. You know, God just moves and speaks and breathes in different ways, right? And so we got to understand this. If you want to get to know God, you need to understand that he is unseen. You need to get to know the fact that he is unpredictable. You can't put him in a box. Here's another characteristic of him, and that is of the wind, and that is that wind is powerful. Wind is powerful. Think about it. Wind has the power to move a ship. It has the power to generate electricity. It has the power to devastate and destroy a city. All in wind. It could be good or bad, okay? But it is powerful. And it's amazing to me. I remember some years ago we had a little hurricane come through here called Hugo. A little word, but it was a big wind, okay? And I remember all the trees falling. I lived right next door to a Presbyterian preacher. And all my trees were standing and all his trees were down. And the wife looked over and said, man, I need to come over to your church. You know, I'm just, you know. But I'm just saying, look, little joke there. But really, the wind is powerful. And we got to get a hold of this concept. And see, some of us, we're not comfortable with that. We just want, you know, God to be tame and maybe lame. I don't know. You know, like, but I want to tell you something. Well, I'm not interested in a God who is powerless. I'm not interested in just having conversations about what God did yesterday and what God did years ago. I want you to know today that our God that we read about in the Bible is the same God that's here today, and he is powerful. He can breathe life into you. He can breathe life into your marriage. Come on, he can breathe life into this city. Come on, everybody. I mean, even on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples received this gift of the Holy Spirit, there was one of the manifestations was a mighty rushing wind. And in the city of Charlotte and in the College Downs community, we need a rush of mighty wind. We need the presence of God. I'm telling you, what we are dealing with is spiritual. It's spiritual. And I say that not as a novice. I say that because I've been in this thing a while. What we're dealing with is spiritual. It's spiritual warfare. But I want to tell you, our God is greater, and he is a God that can speak peace and speak life. Come on into our city. Amen. He's powerful. He's powerful. Acts chapter 1, and this is kind of funny, I think. But Acts chapter 1, Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples what is important. And he says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're gonna receive this breath of fresh air. And so he says, this is what's important. I want you to have power. You're gonna need power. Folks, for us to do what God's called us to do on this earth, we need power. We need more than PowerPoint, and we need more than lights, okay? We need more than that. We need power. Because what God's called us to do, we can't do it. Only God can do it. Only his Spirit can do it, amen? So we need power. And Jesus is telling them, the disciples, for what I've called you to do on this earth, you're going to need some power to pull it off. You're going to need me. You don't just need fancy words. You need the breath of God in those words. You need the power behind that word. Amen? You need God in the midst of it all. And so he told them this. And here was their response. So when they met together, they asked him, after he just told them this, they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, I don't know how you get that, but I think that's funny. I think that's funny. He said, look, you need power. And they said, okay, we need power. All right, enough of that Holy Ghost power thing. Let's just talk about, now, on the timeline of things, where do we stand? Are you now going to, and folks, I'm telling you, you think it's kind of crazy, but that's oftentimes the way we address things. We address this intellectual approach to understanding who God is, and anytime you reduce him down just to an intellectual approach, there is a danger of you creating a God that looks just like you. All right? Right? So it is. He's more than your intellect. I want us to get this. He's more than our intellect. Because, look, if God could fit, and if you had to filter everything through my understanding, in other words, he's more than this. There is a supernatural element to God in that he is powerful. Supernatural. That means he's beyond the natural. It goes beyond our natural understanding. And so if we have to filter everything through our understanding and filter everything through our brain to understand God, guess what? Your God is going to be of the size of this, and your experience is going to be the size of this. Now, don't get me wrong. Education is good. We're right across the street from an educational facility, all right, institution. But it's more. It's got to be more than just intellectual, right? He's beyond that. Because, look, if God could fit inside this brain that I got, you wouldn't want that God. I'm telling you, he'd be a small God, all right? We need a God that's more powerful than that. And here Jesus is explained to his disciples, and they're saying, but, Lord, let me just kind of understand this on paper. Let me just get some principles down, and let me just kind of apply these principles. Folks, he's more than that. He is a God to be experienced. He's a God that is present in this room. He is a God that wants to be present in your life. I actually heard about one guy who was at Church of the Highlands. When Pastor Chris said that they came out of one of their services, and this guy met him as he came out of the out from the worship area, and he in his Alabama accent said, "Preacher, there was something there in that place today. There was something in there. I mean, something was in that room." And the preacher looked, and Pastor Chris looked at him, and he said, "Well, did you like it?" And he said, "Well, I'll be back. I want to tell you, we need the presence of a living God. Listen, you don't need a bunch of information, right? You don't need all your blanks filled in on your message notes this morning. 1 second in the presence of God where you recognize in one moment he is real. He's not just way up there. He's here. He's with us. He's powerful. And he's greater than anything I face will change your life. Amen. And that's my hope. That's my hope, church, that we'll experience who he is, experience his presence. So look at this. They're saying, so when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know. Let me just stop right there. You don't need to know everything. We think we got to know everything. You don't need to know. But I need to know. It needs to fit right in here. No, Jesus said, you don't need to know the times or the dates the Father has set in his own authority. But he said, hey, we got disciples. Let's get back on focus. Get back to what I was telling you. And he brings them right back to his first point. He says, okay, that's not important. Okay. What is important is this. I got that covered. I'll take care of that. Let me get you back where you need to be lined up with me. And he says this, but you will, brings it right back on point, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's a breath of heaven that he wants to breathe into our life. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this, the Spirit of God, the pneuma of God, the breath of God who raised Jesus from the dead, look at this, lives in you. And just as, contemplate that, just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life, come on, to your marriage, to your home, come on, to your job, to your situation. He'll give life to your mortal bodies just by this same pneuma, this same spirit living within you. Man, that's a powerful scripture. Get that one and put it on your refrigerator, all right? So how do we do this? Let me give you some things to take with you. Number one, let go of fears and misperceptions. Let go of these things. And I know it's difficult when, you know, I had somebody said that, that somebody was talking to me about a relative that had this going on in their life, and the Holy Spirit and was, I think the family was ready to put them into an institution over it, okay? I'm just saying, because they said, no, this is where we draw the line. You know, just give me two-thirds God, but I'll just leave that other third aside. Folks, we need to give God a clean slate and let go of our fears and our misconceptions. Look at Psalm 34 and 4. It says this, I sought the Lord. And that's where it begins. Don't take my word for it. Don't take somebody else's word for it. Don't worry about your traditions. Let's focus on what God's word says. And he says this, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And that's what happens. When we call out to the Lord, when we seek him, when we pursue Him, come on, He has the ability to come in and change everything. So let go of your fears and misperceptions. Give God a clean slate. And number two, go all in. And really, this is how this works. You just got to go all in. We used to sing a song, I Surrender All. And the key there is all. It's all. That 99%, it just doesn't work. We've got to go all in. And a powerful scripture that goes along with this is found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. And he says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And it's almost implying there that you're not really going to find me until you do it with all your heart. You want to know how to swim? Well, what I'll do is I'll stick one foot in and see how that feels. Well, I didn't swim. Go up, come on, get up to the waist. Well, yeah, but I didn't swim. Come on, get in, come on, get into the deep place, and that's where you're going to swim. But oftentimes we just want to, you know, say, okay, God, you come on in here, but you better behave yourself. I want you to be predictable, and I want you to stay right within what I understand about you. I'm telling you, you're not going to experience it that way. When you say, God, I'm all yours. Whatever that looks like in my life, whatever your plan is for my life, God, I want you in every facet of my life, God. I want you. I'm going after you. I want to know you. I'm telling you, when you go all in, everything changes. He says that then we're going to find life. You'll find me when you do that with all your heart. Number three, and that's this, develop an intimate friendship with Him. Develop an intimate friendship with Him. There's a great verse. It's really it's a benediction. It's the last verse in a letter here, and it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. There's the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. The extravagant love of God, speaking of the love of the Father, okay? And there's the first person of the Godhead. And then it says this, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God wants a relationship with us. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants to have conversation with us. He wants to have where we are walking with Him throughout the day, and there's an intimate friendship happening. He's our breath that we breathe. He's wanting to breathe life into us, and He wants to walk with us and talk with us and, come on, be a friend, you know, not one of those that, okay, I'll, you know, every 5 years I can talk to Him and pick up right where we left off. No, a friend, an intimate friend, a close friend that you talk to every day and throughout your day, right? We need intimacy. We live in a day where we need intimacy. I mean, like, you go out to eat and there's families that I've done this. Sit down with the family and everybody's got their phone out, right? And you're texting each other. You know, I mean, I was texting somebody, I don't know. Or, you know, you're just talking more to Siri than you are to each other. You know, a question comes up. I don't know. I'll ask Siri. Siri, you know. Here's a great idea. You get your phone and just program it to you know how you can put your name in there? And it says, yes, Theron, what do you want? You know, yes, Theron, how may I help you? Put in there my master. That would be a good one, you know? And so the phone, you know, you go to it and you press Siri. Yes, my master. How may I help you? That is great. Some of you going to try that? Yes, my master. You know, so we go to Siri and, you know, you ever have those conversations with Siri and ask her questions like, Siri, do you love me? I'm an inanimate object. It's impossible for me to express love, you know? Or you hit it again and say, Siri, I love you. And she says, I bet you say that to all your Apple products. I mean, you know. I'm just saying, we're really close to that phone. We use that phone. I mean, you know, we're so close. We're intimate with our Apple product, okay? Wouldn't it be great if we were intimate with God? Come on. Wouldn't it be great if if when he speaks, we say, yes, my master. Oh, you don't want me to say that. I shouldn't say that. Okay, thank you for about stepped in it there. Thank you, God. You know, or, you know, you should go this way or go this way. God, would you guide me? You know, and he speaks to us. I'm telling you, he wants to be that intimate that he can breathe life into us. We hear his voice. Come on, we're following him. Amen, everybody? In fact, look at this next verse. It's found in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. What is that? Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit speaking life into us. Jesus said, look, you're not in this thing all by yourself. I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to lead you into truth. Come on. He's going to remind you things and bring things to remembrance. He's going to lead you into truth, right? He's going to reveal truth to you. Look, we need truth revealed. Amen. Come on, we need a revelation in the city of Charlotte, everybody. We need a revelation of Jesus in our community, right? We need truth to speak, right? But it's not just information. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God that brings peace. It's beyond words, right? So look at this with me. Let me give you fresh air principle number 4. Before I give you that, I want to give you this verse. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. This is from the Message. It just makes it very plain. And he says this, and this is my hope. Don't grieve God. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit, look, is desiring to move and breathe in you. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Don't take it for granted. It's a gift. Heard the story of Charles Finney, known as one of America's foremost revivalists, who saw 500,000 people come to the Lord. He led them to the Lord, and he was struggling with his Holy Spirit, understanding him. And finally, he decided to put all that aside, lay all what he'd been taught aside, all the misconceptions aside. And he was sitting by his fireplace, and he describes how the Holy Spirit came in like wave after wave of electricity and wave after wave of love. And he was trying his best to describe it. And he wrote that, it was as if it was the very breath of God. You know why it was like the breath of God to him? It was the breath of God. It was the same breath of God that was there in the beginning in the creation. He's with us today in the midst of everything, and he wants to breathe life into us. So here's fresh air principle number 4, and that's this. Get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. You'll write that down and bow your heads with me. My heart's desire is that you'll know who he is, because I'm telling you, it'll get you out of that stuck place, that place of the doldrums, that place of lifelessness, that place of you're doing all this stuff, but it doesn't seem to get you anywhere and nothing seems to be changing. When you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit and his work in your life, he'll reveal who Jesus is, and everything begins to change. And can I tell you, first of all, it may be for some of you here today, it's not the third person that you need to be introduced to today, but it's the first person. And the Holy Spirit actually is here today to reveal the first person. That's his job, to reveal who Jesus Christ is. I should say the second person of the Godhead, if you want to put it in theological order there. But we need a relationship with Jesus. He comes to reveal Jesus. That does come first. He's our Savior. He's the one that can change our life when we open our life up to him and say, Jesus, come in. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I don't want to call the shots anymore. I need you to breathe life into me. I need you. In fact, the Bible describes Jesus as the baptizer. He's the one that gives the Holy Spirit to us, equips us so that we can live this thing out. But you're not even living until you have come into a personal relationship with God. I'd love to lead you in a prayer today. If you're here today and you say, that's me, that's the place where I am, I need to know him and I need to make sure I'm in right relationship with him, I'd love the honor of leading you in a prayer today. Here's the way we do this. We're not going to have you stand or come to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. But while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, right where you're seated, I just want to lead you in a prayer. But if that's you today and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer right now? I'd like you just quickly just slip up a hand and you can put it right back down and say, that's me. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Hands are going up. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Right where you're seated, let's do this. And if you need to pray, if you raised your hand, I want you just to breathe this prayer from your heart to the Lord. You can say it out loud, you can say it from your heart, but just mean it. Just mean it, okay? And if you did not raise your hand, but you need to pray this prayer, or if you're watching online and you need to pray this prayer, I invite you to join with us. And God's going to change everything when we make him first in our life. By the way, salvation is not church membership. Salvation is not even coming here today, but salvation is just allowing God to come in and take his rightful place in our heart and our life. I want to lead you today. So would those of you that need to pray this prayer, if you'll pray this, in fact, let's just do it this way. You're here today and you're a believer, but you say, I just want to encourage those that are needing to pray this prayer. I'd like everybody just to pray this prayer out loud, just so we can have privacy. Father, come on, just pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I give you my life. I open my heart. I invite you to come in. Breathe life into me. Forgive me for going my way. I turn to you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for covering my yesterday so I can have a tomorrow. Right now, I accept you and declare you as the Lord of my life. I surrender. Come on, say this. I surrender all. Come inside me. Make me brand new on the inside. And with all of my heart, I will follow you. God, I thank you for every person that just prayed that prayer, needed to pray it, and prayed it. I rejoice with them. And, oh, Lord, I just pray for them. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be experienced. God, when we can't see you, when you're unpredictable, God, but yet we know that you're powerful, I pray that you would cause us to experience you to the place where we even feel you, Lord. God, you're more than feeling, but yet you allow us to feel you. You allow us to experience that breath, that wind where we say, oh, did you feel that? The breath of God. Lord, I pray that for every person in this church. I pray, Father, that the breath of God would breathe new life. I pray for the breath of God in our community, College Downs community, and the villages of College Downs. I pray the breath of God into the city of Charlotte. I pray the breath of God into the cities of America. I pray the breath of God come. Lord, breathe again, oh God. Revive us again. Renew us again. Let us know you. And God, as we know you, let us know the peace of God that passes all understanding. God, it's beyond our understanding. But God, we experience the peace that comes from knowing you, Lord. Oh God, that's our heart prayer today. God, may you be glorified. May you be lifted up, God. Healing in our land, we pray it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Let's bless the Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Amen, amen.